Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Let's rock. And while we're at it, let's get married. You got married at one of those little chapels in Vegas, didn't you? Didn't I hear that right?
Yeah.
Is that a rumor?
No, that was... it depends on which marriage you're talking about. This is going to sound completely wrong, but I've never been to Vegas. I've never been to Las Vegas.
What?
I'm 47 years old. I've never been to Vegas.
You're a socialist. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. But no, we got married in the church on Cumberland Road.
Yeah, I got married in a church too, and it's been going on 38 years. I go out and I give speeches, and I mention that I've been married to my sweetheart, my college sweetheart, for 38 years, and people clap. I'm now at the point in my life where people clap over how many years I've stayed married.
Hey, that's 38?
38, yeah.
38, that's, wow. See, I would have been married when I was 9. That's impressive.
No.
Just, that's good, though. I mean, that's a solid relationship, though.
Yeah, well, we have our ups and downs like every other couple on the planet. It ain't like Hollywood, right? It's one day at a time. We usually argue over stupid stuff. We agree on the big things, but we find ways to needle each other, and then it gets
a little too serious, and then you're like, oh man, okay, I was only kidding, and then you try and play damage control. I get that.
By the way, I'm Paul Douglas. That's Chris Tubbs, who's producing today. Jordana recovering at the Mayo Clinic. She had a rough day yesterday, one day at a time. She had her bone marrow transplant last Thursday, and she was readmitted to the Mayo because she couldn't keep any food down, so they're feeding her intravenously. And, she's not mincing words. You know Jordana, she tells it like it is. She said it's hard. It's really, really rough. But hopefully soon she has more good days than bad days. Look, the reason we started this segment with Elvis, apparently there will be no more Elvis-themed weddings. The company that licenses Elvis Presley merchandise issued a cease and desist order to Las Vegas chapels where they have the Elvis impersonator who marries people. This is a $2 billion a year industry. And apparently the Elvis-themed weddings are a significant percentage of all the ceremonies performed. They attract 70,000 couples a year to Vegas. They employ 18,000 people. There are 55 freestanding chapels in Las Vegas. All of them offer an Elvis impersonator to marry couples. So that's going to stop. And a lot of these chapels now are scratching their heads and saying, uh-oh, how are we going to pivot? The good news, Chris, you can still get married by an Alice Cooper impersonator. The $750 package includes two songs.
Yeah, it's just Poison, you know? Alice Cooper, Poison, you know?
I get it. Okay. I get it. Yeah.
Why now, though? Why would they pivot now? Like, I mean, that's one of the first things I think about when I think about Vegas is I think about people going and getting married by an Elvis impersonator. Like, isn't that kind of one of the things? I mean, you go to Vegas to get married a quickie wedding chapel with an Elvis impersonator. I mean, isn't that the whole point?
Well, yeah. When I think Vegas chapels, I think shotgun weddings. I think, okay, maybe second or third marriage. You want to have fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've had too much to drink. Hey, let's go get married. Okay. I would not have been able to get away with that. I mean, my wife wanted a church wedding with relatives there. Mm-hmm. And look, I do think it's a sacred vow before God. When you get married, I don't think it's frivolous. And so, but again, you have the freedom. You want to go to Vegas and get married by an Elvis impersonator, you better do it fast, because it's all about the cheddar. It's all about the money. And the company that owns the rights to Elvis merchandise says no more. By the way, and speaking of money, I saw something at the Minnesota Reformer. Due to a staffing shortage, MPD officers, Minneapolis police officers, have been putting in a lot of overtime. 72% of Minneapolis cops make six figures last year. 13 MPD employees made more than $200,000. 89 made more than $150,000. 466 more than $100,000. And I have, you know, no problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the toughest gigs on the planet. They deserve every penny, especially overtime. We're trying to attract good cops to come to Minneapolis and St. Paul. But, that's more than I thought they made. And I'm kind of glad they're making that much. But it's still not enough, apparently, to attract more officers to the Minneapolis police force.
Well, there are so many people out there in positions where you're capped at, you know, you have 40 hours, you have, you know, 44, whatever it is. It's like you are not allowed to make that overtime. And if this is because of all of the negative press, and I mean, rightfully so, on the MPD, they've taken a massive hit. And again, a majority of that is completely warranted. But for those that are there, if the opportunity is there, and you are getting approval for working the extra hours, and you are being fairly compensated for it, if that is one of the perks that maybe you could attract people to come and fill some of those vacant positions, then take advantage of it. Absolutely. It's nice to hear something like that. You've got to earn that money. But if you're talking about six figures, and how many people made over $200,000?
Let's see. 13 MPD employees made more than $200,000.
I mean,
89 made more than $150,000.
Yeah, you can't slack your way through all of that extra, you know, time. So good for them, because there are a lot of people out there that want that extra opportunity. And if they're like, here, it's there to take it, you do what you want, I have no problems with it. No problem at all.
Yeah. We don't want any more Derek Chauvins. Okay. And look, policing, I think one of the toughest gigs on the planet.
Oh, especially now, yeah.
Having to make split second decisions. I mean, never in a trillion years could I do it. Most people couldn't. It takes a special breed, and we need great cops, and we've got a lot of great cops out there. But anyway, I just wanted to share those numbers because that was news to me. Todd Walker is going to lighten things up and talk about all the stuff that's coming up this weekend. Some of this you need to hear from Todd next. Paul Douglas with you. It's Thursday. Looking forward to a nice weekend. Sunday looks like the better day to be out and about, and somebody who I envy because he's often out and about exploring Minnesota and finding some of the nuggets, finding some of the best stuff to do, is Todd Walker. Every Thursday at this time, you get to hear his top list of what's coming up and what he recommends. The one and only Todd Walker. Hey, Todd, welcome back.
Hey, Paul. I got to tell you, first of all, we have to clear something up. I ran into two different groups of our listeners last week, this past week, and they were like, why do you always call in from a bathroom? What is with this? So we have to explain that, okay, because right now, Paul, I'll tell you where I am in just a moment, but one of the reasons is it's privacy. I'm always on a location, and the sound is best, and it's a great place to record. I've actually recorded in bathrooms before. So, Paul, you know, justify me that bathrooms are a good place for these kind of things, right?
It's not irritable bowel syndrome. I just want to clear that up. That is one of the conspiracy theories out there right now, Todd.
Oh, yeah, I just had to clear. I mean, because right now, you're going to think this is odd, but I'll give you another perfect example. I'm down at the Flint Hills Family Festival in front of the Ordway. It is unbelievably windy down here. So, yeah. I jumped in a porta potty. And I'm calling you from a porta potty right down here at the...
Wait, you're in a porta potty right now?
Yeah, heck yeah. Because if I was outside, there'd be so much wind noise with the phone and calling in. So, yeah, I thought, where do I jump in? So I jumped in a porta potty. So here I am, porta potty from the right in front of the Ordway there, my buddy. So, yeah.
Hey, so I respect that. Yeah, you do what you have to do. Yeah, let's start with Flint Hills. Yeah, please.
Okay. This is an unbelievably great festival. It's been going on for so many years, right in front of the Ordway. And, you know, they took 2 years of hiatus because of the pandemic. And it's just, it's a really unbelievable experience. And all the outdoor activities are completely free. They bring in acts, international acts, literally from around the world. 1 year they had people doing a whole performance, jumping off and doing a dance performance off the buildings. They have people on stilts. It's just really different art communities from around the world come in for this festival. And it's a free event, as I said. And then inside, there's a nominal fee for some of the activities that happen inside. But generally, this is for families. This is for kids. And it happens all day Saturday, all day Sunday. And it's really the place to be. So that's for kids. And, you know, I'm sure I'm going to hear from some of our listeners because they know I live in St. Paul. And I always hear, you're always talking about St. Paul events. But there are so many things happening this weekend in St. Paul, that you should just, you know, get a hotel room and stay in St. Paul.
Get a hotel room. Haven't heard that in a while. Okay.
I know. Well, hopefully you haven't.
Todd, I remember one of my fondest memories as a kid. Every Christmas, my dad would take the ping pong table and he would set up an HO train set. And we would add something to the train set every year. And it was so cool. And I became infatuated with model trains. I love trains. And so I'm intrigued by train days. Tell us about that.
Okay, train days, once again, I have filmed this a number of times for Fox, and the train days happens down at the Union Depot in St. Paul, and your love for trains is certainly not unique. There are so many people that attend this event. The kids go absolutely crazy. If you are a train lover, they have everything for you. You can go out on the platforms and see, like, you know, real full-size trains to inside. They have collectors that share different, you know, unique pieces of trains. You can trade train pieces with some of the people from around the country that come in for this. And they have train sets set up, and the kids go crazy. But it's not just for the kids. There's so many adult train lovers as well. So, yes, this is happening Saturday and Sunday. The doors open at 10 o'clock, goes until 4 o'clock, and it's completely free. I mean, absolutely free. And they have food that's going to be available, and, you know, it's just a really great event if you're looking for something to do with your kids and if you're a train lover. So that's downtown St. Paul at the Union Depot.
This next item, I know you were a professional wrestler at one point.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work out quite the way you had hoped, but I give you a lot of credit, Todd, for getting in the ring and trying. So St. Paul Slammer, what is that, and do you know this guy?
Yeah, well, I hung up my little bikini from my wrestling days as I got a little bit older. And, yes, this is I wanted to throw something in that's, you know, completely different. This is happening down at Kagan Case, and they set up an actual ring on their outside patio, and it is full-on wrestling that happens. It's called it's hosted by the St. Paul Slammer and Clutch Brewery. And they have live music that follows the wrestling match. That's Saturday afternoon starting at 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, and it's $15. And I think it sounds just like a lot of fun. It's supposed to be, you know, a pretty nice day. So go down to the Kagan Case, grab a beer from Clutch, watch some good old-fashioned, you know, all-star wrestling, and then stay for the music. I mean, that's fun.
Yeah, that's absolutely fun. You know what else sounds fun is an outdoor concert, especially The weather's going to be nice. I know this is Friday. This is tomorrow at 6:30, CHS Field. Some 90s bands playing, right?
Oh, I mean, Paul, look at this. Look at this lineup. It's the I Love the 90s concert right downtown St. Paul at CHS Field. I mean, Vanilla Ice is going to be there. Young MC, Color Me Bad. I mean, I know. This sounds to me, I'm going. See, once again, all you have to do is go downtown St. Paul, park, start at the Ordway, head down to Train Days, walk on over to CHS Field for the evening, and hear some unbelievable music. And this is all a celebration of 30 years of fun with the St. Paul Saints. So they're hosting this concert, and tickets are $29.50. And yes, it's tomorrow, starts at 6:30. I don't know. Come on. Look who's going to be there again. Vanilla Ice. I think it sounds just like a really, wow, really fun event. And yeah, and Color Me Bad, like I said, Young MC. So yeah, CHS Field tomorrow, 6:30. Got to be there.
And Todd, last item, I look for excuses to go to St. Anthony Park. I just love that neighborhood, love the feel of walking through that area. And there's an arts festival this weekend?
Yes, it was postponed for the last 2 years, and it's just a really charming arts festival. And it's happening at St. Anthony Park, right in front of the St. Anthony Park Library, which is just a beautiful, beautiful building. It's such a charming neighborhood to walk through, some great restaurants. And yeah, I mean, it's just a great, great area. And this is their 53rd annual arts festival, totally free. They have a number of activities for the kids. It's a juried show. They're going to have live music. There's even a plant sale. So check that out. It's kind of the start of the, you know, outdoor arts festival. So this is definitely one that I wouldn't miss. It's smaller than some of the others, and it's a little bit more manageable, and it's a charming neighborhood. So we've got you set. We've got you set Vanilla Ice to wrestling.
Hey, we're out of time, but before we go, can you just scream out as loud as you can, "I'm trapped, let me out. Somebody let me out." Do that. Come on.
Okay. I'm pounding on the door. You hear me pounding on the door?
Yeah, you got to yell.
Help! Help! I'm trapped! I'm trapped in the porta potty! Somebody let me out! Let me out! There you go. No flushing. Oh, there's somebody out in front of it, though. Somebody's pulling on the door now, Paul. Now I'm a little embarrassed.
A police officer.
Crap.
I better let you deal with that. I'm sorry. You messed up. You trusted me.
Oh, the things I let you talk me into. All right, Paul, I better get out of here before they really wonder, because there's cops all over the place.
Run.
All right.
Run as fast as you can.
Talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks,
take care.
Todd. Well done. Todd Walker at a porta potty outside the Ordway. Who does that? Todd does it. He gets it done. He finds a way. So does Mike Max. We've got some good news, some bad news, some very heartbreaking news, too, when we come back on CCO. Maxi Sports brought to you by the John Schuster Group, Coldwell Banker Realty. Maxi, thanks for coming on for a bonus round of Mike Max.
Has it? It snowed in Hawaii, right? All 50 states have had snow?
Oh, yeah.
But where in
higher
Hawaii,
elevations.
How high do they get up there?
The volcano peaks. I think those peaks, I want to say they're up around 12,000 feet, 10,000, 12,000 feet.
Oh, they are?
So, yeah. And I've been to the top of Mauna Kea. There's an observatory up there. And it was the most amazing drive up. I mean, the observatory was cool, but the drive up and especially the drive down, you feel like you're in an airplane when you're coming down off that mountain. It's a volcano.
Yeah.
And you descend, and it warms up like 40 degrees in the span of an hour as you go down the mountain. But, yeah, every state has had snow. Yeah.
Wow. And, like, in Hawaii, like that, here's a question that I have. This is a meteorology question, okay? So you're going up 10,000 feet, okay? Now, this is just me, the novice, on the outside looking in. I'm saying you're getting closer to the sun. Why would it get colder as you get closer to the sun?
The atmosphere cools with altitude. Outer space is cold, really, really cold, close to absolute zero. So the atmosphere cools with altitude, and it cools about 3 to 4 degrees for every 1,000 feet you rise up through the atmosphere. Then you hit the stratosphere, where it warms up temporarily.
But you got to get all the way to the stratosphere.
You got to get to the stratosphere,
get some sunbathing again,
We're fun at parties, aren't we?
Oh, boy. Yeah. God, it's just one of those questions that always bothered me. It's like, well, if you're getting closer to the sun, why wouldn't it get warmer? And I knew there was a logical scientific reason, but I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, well, it just
kept us from talking about the Twins, so didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
They lost, what, 3 out of 4?
No.
4 out of 5 of the Tigers. What is it about the Tigers?
Tilt. I don't know, because not many people said, what's it about the Tigers this year? You know, they're not a very good team.
I know.
And they sliced and diced the Twins up. Jonathan Scope, former Twin, had I think he had 7 RBI in the 5 games. Had the first one today. He's a big, strong, strappy lad that plays second base, and he was with the Twins for just the 1 year, 19. And an affable, nice guy. He gets 1,000th hit this series. But when they had him that year, when they were the Bomba squad, he was right in the middle of it. But he's 6'4", 6'5". I mean, a good size second baseman. And C.J. Cron, they brought him to play first base, and C.J. Cron's had a great year this year, too, in terms of power numbers. The Tigers are not an overwhelming team, but I do have to say this, Paul. It is becoming so obvious that you know, in the way they've changed the makeup of the balls or the humidor or whatever, whatever you thought going into this season, stop and rethink. Because pitching is now going to become dominant and hitting will not. The Twins went 22 innings without scoring a run until they got one today. 22 innings before G. Ursula hit a double and knocked in Nick Gordon. Home run totals are obviously down everywhere. So all of a sudden they're talking about these good pitching performances and how good the Twins pitching staff is. I'm not sure that it's any better than it was last year, but if you change the makeup of the balls, you become much better. Just like if you change it the other way, you become a much better power hitter. So I don't think there's much difference in talent. I just think that pitching's going to win out because that's where they've settled up.
Are players actively complaining about these new balls?
Not the pitchers. The pitchers. Well. Devin Smeltzer was on this morning with Tommy H and I, and he said every ball is like a snowflake. He said everyone's a little bit different in terms of the way that it feels. So whatever they're doing to it, I assume to soften it some with that humidor. And again, this gets into the science. You could probably speak to it better than I could. But if you put cowhide in something that's very humid, my guess would be, but I was wrong about the altitude thing, my guess would be that would soften it, correct?
It should, but shouldn't you be putting cigars in a humidor and not baseballs?
Only in Cuba, buddy.
Max, I want to ask you, and it's a tragic story, too many of these stories, but Gophers running back Marion Barber III passed away at the age of 38. Do we know anything more? You had a lot of interaction with him, right?
Yeah. I would say that I never really felt like I knew him well. I knew him. I covered him. I talked to him. There's the obvious connections, him being a Minnesota athlete and a high school athlete here. He was not a big media guy. He kept to himself that way. You did observe one of the interesting things that I thought was he and Lawrence Maroney both played running back. And there's only so many snaps in a game, and there's only so many ways to get to 1,000 yards. And yet my point being that it's easy to not like the other, or at least be in competition with. Maybe they were, but it didn't matter. They had a great friendship, and he and Lawrence were, you know, part of that. And the third piece of it was Thomas Tepay out of St. Paul Johnson. And when those three were running the football, and that offensive line was in sync, Vic Adamley was the running backs coach, Gordy Shaw was the offensive line coach, Glenn Mason the head coach. They ran the football about as well as anybody in the Big Ten. And yep. Marion III, of course, his father, Marion, a great Gopher as well. They both had great games against Michigan at home. Marion's dad, they won that game, that huge shutout when they were number one. And then Marion III, I think, ran for 197 yards the game that they lost in that huge comeback by Michigan in the second half of the Metrodome. But Marion III was He didn't seek. He never seemed that comfortable to me in the public forum, in the limelight kind of thing. He seemed comfortable when he was with his friends, when he was with his teammates. His brother Dom was a great player. So was Thomas. Tom played in the NFL as well. He's different than Marion. Really, he worked at the university for a long time, so I'd see him frequently. Just a really nice kid. And Imam Karen holds that family together. Marion got, you know, after football, life was not real good. This was an ongoing conversation amongst people that were, you know, connected in the program, knew what was going on. You know, from time to time, you'd be in conversation, and you'd say, well, have you talked to Marion Barber? And, no, you know, can't get a hold of him. Changed his number, whatever it was. And I remember Thomas DePay most recently when I had him on a few years ago. Thomas went through his own tough times. He lives down in New Orleans, at least at last count. And we were talking about Marion because they were good friends in the same backfield. And he said, really tough deal, tough to get a hold of him, all those things. And he had a few bounce backs emotionally where he'd be back up here in the last several years. Glenn Mason talked this morning about having dinner with him, he said, 4 or 5 years ago. So there were spaces like that and pieces like that, but there were also some disturbing incidents, police incidents, etc. And whatever it was, you always worried. Let me put it that way. And I think everybody that knew him, understands what I'm talking about, knows that for the last several years, you always worried about Marion something, and you hope that he was in a good place.
Well, certainly condolences to his family and friends.
Tremendous. It is a loss. Contributors to this state, his entire family. And let me tell you something, Paul. I was watching last night as we put our stuff together, and I'm talking to his teammates. Many of them couldn't even, didn't want to be interviewed, just were really grieving last night and probably into today as well. But I'm watching the video that we get that Dallas sends us and Gopher video, and man, did he run hard. And he hit people, and he put his head into people, and he backed down from no one. Glenn Mason had him coming as a cornerback, and Marion insisted on getting a chance at running back. And man, was he right! You know, he talked them into him playing the right position, but he ran with more reckless abandon than I remembered. And that day at Nashville, any Gopher fans there will recall this. They're playing Alabama. I mean, Alabama. Now, it's before Saban. Granted, Mike Shula's the coach, but it's still Alabama, and the place is rocking with Alabama folks. And it proved to be his last game with the Gophers, but he put on a show that day. He was the MVP of the game. I think he might have even thrown a touchdown pass. He was unbelievable. And I remember watching that going, because he had a fifth-year option to come back, and I remember watching that, as did others, going, he's not coming back, man. That's too good a performance. He's going to the NFL. He did, and he didn't look back.
Mikey, when we come back, I want to talk Kevin Fiala, Vikings, and whatever the heck you're tracking for your sportscast. When we come back on CCO, stay with us. Mike Max with me this afternoon. Paul Douglas with you. Thanks for coming along for the ride. So, Maxie, do we know anything more about Kevin Fiala? I saw that Instagram post some time ago that said, thank you, Minnesota. What's going on? Is he going to get traded? Do we know?
He could. The salary cap is what it's all about. It's not they don't want Kevin Fiala back. It's can they afford him based on his production. And so he put up numbers. He's become he'd be a desired commodity out there. And so Bill Guerin has to play with the salary cap to try to make things work. Would they like Fiala back? Yeah. Are the odds of him coming back? I'd say 40-60 that he comes back to the the Wild. Philippe Johansson, they declined. He's a, I don't know if people understand how all this works, but in 2018 they drafted this defenseman from Sweden, and yesterday, whatever the deadline was, I suppose it must have been June 1st, they decided not to even sign him. In other words, they didn't think he was good enough. So they watched him in Sweden and at their developmental camps. They said he's not good enough. So they declined it, and they get a compensatory pick for that second round, but those are ouches because that means he swung and missed on a first round pick in 2018 that should be in his prime by now. And that was Paul Fenton. That was before Bill Guerin was on board. But that's not the end of the world. It's not here counting on him. But it's just kind of interesting fodder because in most places when you draft somebody, you're obligated to sign them.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that perspective, Mikey. Hey, anything new with the Vikes? Any cause for hope, optimism for Vikes fans?
Let me think now. I'm trying to think of the best. These off-season workouts are so vanilla. What you pick up. Yeah, there's a few things you can pick up on practice if somebody's practicing more with the first team or something like that. But they're not hitting. And this year, a little bit more interesting because they're putting in new concepts with the new coaching staff. And so what it has been to date, I was out there softball tournament the other day and talking to the players, it has been positive vibes on steroids, so to speak. They are going out of their way to try to, hey, you're not just a football player, you're a person too, and we respect that, and we're here for you. All those things that would be what they would perceive to be the opposite of Mike Zimmer's reign as Vikings. I think that's overstated in Zimmer's case. I don't think Zimmer is as controlling or as bad or as, I don't think he had as many walls between him and the players as people, want to believe. In fact, I think he was just a piece of it. There was more to it than that, but the bottom line was they weren't winning. So you come in and if you're Kevin O'Connell, you got to sell that you're the positive guy. Now, I have heard, I was talking to another NFL team that interviewed O'Connell, and they said he interviewed very well with them, was number two on their list because he had performed really well in the interview process. So that means it wasn't just the Vikings that were impressed with him. There were other teams that were as well.
Mikey, what's on your show? We have less than a minute, but sports
got,
to the max tonight.
You mentioned Joe Biden speaking at 6:30. He's got a press conference, so I'll give way to him. Yep.
Well, you could interrupt that.
You
can do anything once,
you know,
Mike.
What happened last time I did that? No. 7:05, I've got Brad Anderson. He is the Wayzata football coach when Marion Barber was there. So we'll visit with him about Marion and the family, et cetera. Devendre Jordan will join us. He's a trainer extraordinaire that works with kids that are preparing for the upcoming NBA draft. Darby Hendrickson is going to join us tonight, Minnesota Wild assistant coach and, of course, former great player in this state.
Nice.
And so that and a whole bunch more.
We'll be listening. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Companies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.